Alleluia, alleluia.
Our Passover Lamb is Christ, who banished the angel of death.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Our God made the earth for good, and one day we all will rejoice.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
We sing to the glory of the Lord, who set us free from sin.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
To Christ our heavenly King, give thanks for everything.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He came to show us how to live in the here and now.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He suffered and died for us, and one day he shall return.
Sing praise to the Lord all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to the Lord.
Jesus is unwavering in his commitment to his mission in Jerusalem and will not be swayed by pettiness. In a series of striking cases in point, he calls his disciples to a similar single-mindedness. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. So I feel like 2 weeks in a row here, I also prepared a children's sermon.
Yeah.
And since we are all children of God, Kyle, you want to come up, or are you good sitting with Grandma? Awesome. What?
Where are you going to sit? I'll sit up here with you.
Should we sit here?
We have at least two kids up here.
because Pastor John and I are just big hits anyway. So Jeremiah spent, oh my goodness, I might need help up too, John. Jeremiah spent a week at Sky Ranch. Thank you. congregation for helping him do that. Goodness. It was a confirmation camp, and he learned a lot. We learned a lot as parents, too, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Like, don't leave his glasses in the car after you drop him off at Sky Ranch. And other things. Lessons learned. And he's at camp, up at Triple J Camp, up by Tensley this weekend as well. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing the sermon today based on the Galatians verse. And I was just inspired about this old camp song that I'm guessing many of you have sung. I have words for us, Kyle. Okay. So we'll see how many of those kids out there know the words to this song. And I'm going to cheat and give Pastor John one too. So this old camp song is called We Are One in the Spirit, also known as You Knew It, Didn't You? You knew that I was going to go there.
I didn't know which one you were going to present.
You thought, maybe. One in the Spirit, or yes, they'll know we are Christians
by our love.
A commandment I give you, love your neighbor. Right? So, are we ready? Do you know this song? Then we're going to learn it today. Good? Here we go.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
You guys are awesome. We have the words. Thank you. So, are you familiar, Kyle, with a movie that came out a couple years ago based on a book called A Wrinkle in Time? Has your grandma given you those books yet, Bev? No? A Wrinkle in Time, Madeline L'Engle is the author, and there's a whole series. You know these books. See, there's a librarian for this. From her second book in this series, which is much lesser known than A Wrinkle in Time, it's called A Wind in the Door, she has this great, simple little quote that we can all learn a little something about love from. And it's just simply this. Love isn't how you feel. It's what you do. Oftentimes, we think about love as an emotion. Maybe a passion. Right? A feeling. But truly, love that is seen is by what we do each day for one another. That smile when we can tell someone is maybe not having a great day. Or that hug to the stranger who walks through the front door. So love isn't how you feel. It's what you do. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Thank you. I'm going to give you the whole pile. And after church, you can hand them to whomever you want to hand these to. Deal? Awesome. Right. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Pastor. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon message I'd like to share with you this morning is from our New Testament lesson from Galatians. And together this morning, let us consider just what a Spirit-led life might look like. I'd like to take a risk this morning and step out in faith a little bit. I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable before you, and I hope that you will allow yourself to be vulnerable too, and be vulnerable to yourself. The challenge for us today, each and every day, is a focus, a willingness to to let go and let God. A challenging phrase of encouragement I suspect most of us, not all of us, have heard before and have pondered. Let go and let God. For me, that is certainly easier said than done. Perhaps for you as well. In essence, letting go and letting God is our daily submission to giving the leadership of our lives to Jesus Christ. A life that is led by the Holy Spirit. And this is a huge challenge for me. Because as a sinful human being, I sometimes have this foolish, innate ability to convince myself that I am something that I am not. That I am something more than what I am. A poor, miserable sinner. How about you? Here's my most recent example of me trying to be something that I am not, something more than I am. As most, or probably all of you know, my mom Esther has been living with us for the last 3 years. And we do our best, and by we I mean Denise mostly. We do our best to meet her needs and take good care of her as her dementia advances and her mobility decreases. When we first remodeled our house, which used to be her house, we remodeled it to give her her own little private suite with a bedroom and her own private bathroom. In that bathroom, we had the contractor install a very nice large sink and a large vanity with storage under it and all those good things. So it was beautiful. It looked nice. When Mom was very mobile, this bathroom setup worked really well. Now that oftentimes we have to use a hydraulic lift to gently get her in and out of the bathroom, the larger sink and the vanity seem to always be in the way, making it difficult to maneuver that lift. So I thought, nothing ventured, nothing gained. How hard could it be to take out an old sink and vanity and replace it with a smaller sink with a cute little pedestal? I confidently thought, I can do this on my own. The front row is really laughing at me this morning. Long story short, on my own, it was a frustratingly disastrous do-it-yourself project. I am not mechanically gifted, and that is an understatement. Just ask Denise, or when you see Jeremiah the next time, ask him. He'll tell you. I was trying to be the best do-it-yourselfer possible and save a little money at the same time. Ha, to saving money. I would venture to say that all wannabe do-it-yourselfers like me have fallen victim to the Tim the Tool Man Taylor, remember him? School of Theology from Home Improvement. Tim's motto was, oh, come on, this will be fun, you'll see. In every do-it-yourselfer's life, there is always that one project that we try to tackle that should be left to the professionals. A licensed contractor, a plumber, an electrician. Anyone else been there besides Bill? Maybe. Okay. Just Bill, apparently. Sometimes what we think is a good idea just simply doesn't seem to work out all too well. Like that seemingly simple bathroom project. And this is what Paul is writing about in our New Testament lesson from Galatians today. We must trust our lives to the instruction, the counsel, the expertise, and the guidance of the professional, God's Holy Spirit. Life just doesn't seem to go all that well when we try to do it ourselves, on our own, with our own will. Let go and let God. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. Last Sunday, Pastor Orwig, in his excellent sermon on the third article of the Apostles' Creed, shared Luther's explanation, which emphasized the critical theology of justification by grace through faith alone. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit describes how God comes to us, how faith is born in us, how faith grows in us and sustains us to life everlasting through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Luther affirms that in every instance mentioned, the church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, All of these are gifts from God through the work of the Holy Spirit. That piece of the Trinity that I sometimes overlook. The piece of the Trinity that is here in our hearts this morning. Luther's words are worth hearing again, and I've added a couple additions. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? It means that I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, do it myself. This is not a do-it-yourself project, this thing called faith. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. The Holy Spirit has enlightened me with His gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. In the same way, He, God, the Holy Spirit, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on that last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Sanctification, justification, salvation by grace alone through faith in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we complicate that all the time by trying to do it ourselves? Let's go back to 50 AD for a few minutes. Let's see what was happening to the church in Galatia. Some teachers are instructing the Galatians that they need to practice kind of a do-it-yourself form of salvation, similar to some of those philosophies and New Age ideas that we hear about, read about in today's world. Paul says no very clearly. Remember, you are saved by grace, and that gives the believer freedom. In it, this letter to Galatia, Paul is writing to address some of the very serious problems happening in the church. Not long after Paul left the area, other Jewish Christian teachers arrived and were teaching the Gentiles that they needed to observe the Jewish law as well as have faith in Christ. That the law equally save them as the gospel. Paul saw that this struck at the very core of our Christian message, the message that salvation is a free gift by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. This instruction by the Jewish Christian teachers made observance of the law just as essential for faith as our crucified Messiah. With that in mind, what do we know about this letter to the Galatians? The Galatians were actually Celtic people who settled in Gaul, France, before they came to Asia Minor. They received the gospel of salvation by faith alone through the testimony and teachings of Paul on his missionary tour through this area. Paul wrote this letter to defend the gospel of grace for salvation rather than justification by law, as these Jewish Christian teachers were proclaiming. Paul defends the idea that we are saved by grace and that salvation by grace gives you and I as believers freedom from the law. The fact that salvation has always been by faith throughout time is evidenced earlier in Galatians in chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed by you, in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham, who believed. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all things written in the book of the law. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the one who is righteous will live by faith, But the law does not rest on faith. On the contrary, whoever does the works of the law will live by them. Christ redeemed us from this curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit through faith. As we can see, even back in the day of Abraham, salvation has been by grace through faith, not works of the law. We see Paul use the phrase, live by the Spirit, in verse 16 of our text this morning. What does this mean, live by the Spirit? Paul is saying that by living by the Spirit, the Galatians can not only stop false teaching, but also by living by the Spirit, they can counteract the strife that occurs or could occur within the church. Paul is emphasizing the Christ-like conduct that characterizes a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Paul is concerned with living in the Spirit as opposed to living in the flesh. We must be clear that this is showing us that if we are living by the Spirit, we are concerned that our spiritual lives are being led by the Holy Spirit. We are letting the professional take control. This is a deliberate action by us. Those who believe in Christ, we need to constantly check the direction of our lives, daily. There's our challenge. Who is leading us? We see in the last part of verse 16, Paul states that when we take this deliberate action, we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. This does not mean that I or you will never fail or that we'll never sin again. It simply means that we will not desire those things contrary to the will of God. The focus is on our desire, our motivation. In verse 17, Paul tells us that we have two opposing forces within us. The Holy Spirit obviously is infinitely more powerful. But we also know that left alone to our own desires and our own sinful flesh, we make wrong choices. We make bad decisions. Our do-it-yourself willfulness always falls short of the glory of God. Verses 19 through 21 clearly list the obvious works of the flesh, our wrong choices. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Guilty as charged. Let us keep in mind that if we have been guilty of these sins, all hope is not lost. Paul is not saying that just because I and you have committed these sins, that we are beyond hope. Faith, hope, and love remain and will always reign in our lives as Christians. Paul tells the Galatians and us that to be free from the law, we must be led by the Spirit. Paul is simply saying that if we are led by the Spirit, the natural outgrowth of that leadership in our lives is going to produce the fruits of service to one another. Love your neighbor. Paul is showing us that when we do place our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit, the qualities, the fruits of the Spirit that he describes will naturally flow from our lives. Paul implores us not to be involved in the deeds of the flesh, but to put on the healing power of the fruit of the Spirit. Listen again to verses 22 and 23. See if these words flow more gently into your ears and into your mind and into your heart. By contrast, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. These types of actions foster the fruit of the Spirit in each one of us here today, not to mention the body of Christ as well. By describing the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, we are told what to avoid and what to embrace. In verse 24 of this lesson, we see the climax of Paul's message. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The word crucified describes the same action taken against Jesus Christ upon the cross. Crucified means literally to extinguish. That's what the world wanted to do to our Messiah. Extinguish him. Bury him in a grave for good. Praise God, they were not successful. Shine, Jesus, shine. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. When we truly follow Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Our hands do the work of Christ, and our feet go to places for those who follow Christ. Give up control. It's hard. Give up control of your life to the Holy Spirit. He was sent to help, guide, and comfort us. He was sent for us to lead us. Verse 25 tells us, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let go. Let God. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God that passes all of our human understanding guard our hearts.